Now we want to look at our second major point, disciplining an elder. And this is chapter 5, verses 20 to 23. Now, we are to protect our pastor elders from false accusation. However, what if upon investigation, we have witnesses that affirm that the elder has sinned? What do we do then? Well, in verse 20, it says this: "As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all." Notice, elders who sin. The context is very clear. We're dealing with sin here. It's an issue that demands witnesses. It's an issue or a sin that will require public rebuke. So this is not some minor thing. Elders misspeak. Sometimes they overreact. They hurt people's feelings. Sometimes they're not as sensitive as they should be. Sometimes they get angry and they say things they shouldn't say. They apologize and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes they don't keep all their promises, or they say unkind things. There's many minor failures. We all have. That's not what is involved here. What is involved here is a sin of some serious nature that requires witnesses and public rebuke. Now, if you'll notice the clause in my translation, it says, "those who persist in sin." Now, this translates a present active participle. And normally in Greek, the present tense has as its aspect continuous action. And so the translations are trying to be accurate here by saying persist in sin. You'll find many of the commentators agree the idea is those who are continuing in sin. Now, there is disagreement among the commentators of how we should stress this present tense participle. Many commentators say what is involved here is elders who stubbornly persist in sin after they are privately rebuked and dealt with. Now, of course, if an elder persists in sin, he's a rebel. He's displeasing to God. He's harmful to the church. He is unrepentant. He will not listen to the Lord's people. He will not listen to truth or rebuke. This is a man in trouble. This is a man who's caused great damage in the church. So such an elder needs to be rebuked publicly. But may I add, he will need to be removed as an elder because he does not qualify. Do you want a rebel for an elder? Do you want a pastor who will not listen to rebuke and truth and will not repent of sin? He wants to persist in his sin? Now, it appears that this was a happening in the church at Ephesus. We know that some of the ringleaders, some of the leaders were probably elders. In chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, Paul excommunicated Hymenaeus and Alexander. He says, I handed them over to Satan. They were heretical teachers, but they were leaders in the church. So it appears from the situation that there were elders persisting in sin. And so Paul is dealing with that, and they are to be publicly censured. And they are to be exposed, and they are to be reproved for what they are doing. And certainly, they would not qualify any longer to be an elder. They are discredited by their behavior and their sin, persistent sin. And I would say to you that the entire eldership would be discredited if they did not remove such an elder and expose him publicly. And whenever an elder is removed, you have to publicly say something about this. If not, you light on fire the rumor mill, and you're just causing yourself more problems. And so it will have to be a public action. Now, here is a question that often arises. Would this phrase, persist in sin, deal or address an elder who only sinned once? For example, and I've had this phone call from different churches saying something like this. Well, the passage says the elders who persist in sin. What about an elder who only sinned once and repented? Would this passage address this elder? Well, let's take, for example, and this is normally one of the common examples, although I'll give you another one in a moment. Our elder committed adultery, and when it was found out, he repented. Do we have to publicly rebuke him? Do we have to remove him as an elder? Can we just simply deal with it as elders since he did repent? Well, first of all, whether the present tense participle addresses this issue or not, this is an issue that is dealt with in chapter 3, verses 1 to 7, and in chapter 3, verse 10. This elder no longer qualifies. He is not a one-woman man. He is not above reproach in his marriage. And by the way, there's no such thing as a clean adultery. Adulterers are always caught. And there's lying, there's hypocrisy, there's deception. There is abuse of other people. There is terrible abuse to the spouse and to the children and to the Lord's name and to the whole church. Such an elder has to be removed. He is not above reproach. In fact, he's a horrible example to the other men in the church. So I would just say, whether you want to hang on the subtleties of the present tense of this participle, this issue is answered in other places. Such a sin would still disqualify a person. Now, I need to comment on a very common error we hear almost repeatedly today. It's almost become a truth. Well, yes, we all sin, but there's forgiveness and reconciliation and restoration. Well, of course there is. We're Christians. If there's anyone who has a doctrine of forgiveness, it's us. The blood of Christ forgives us of all sins. And there's repentance. There should be restoration to the community. There should be help given to that believer. He should be loved, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, love that person back in. But my dear friends, that is a totally different issue than does a church elder qualify? Don't confuse those. Yes, we restore. Yes, we love. Yes, we seek to do everything to help that sinning member, because we're all sinners and we can all do the same thing. Our hearts should be filled with compassion and love. Galatians 6:10 tells us when we do this kind of thing, restoration, we do with great fear, knowing we could do the same thing. But this is the question of qualifications as an officer in God's holy temple among the holy people of God. And so we must not confuse these two issues, because it's causing terrible problems today. Now, the other view is this, that we should not stress the aspect of continuous action, but it's simply contrasting the innocent elder who has been cleared of charges and the elder who has been found based upon witnesses as sinning. And so they do not stress the continuous idea. So some translations will say this: publicly rebuke those who sin. They're found guilty. And so they would deal with it this way. Well, let me just say to you, commentators, good commentators, are divided on the interpretation of this word. What is clear, what we should all be able to agree upon, is this: the sin of an elder cannot be pushed under the carpet. It cannot be hidden. It cannot be covered up. It cannot be ignored. It cannot just be brushed aside. We should all be able to agree on that. Now, the passage is general enough to address all the various ways these questions are given and the different situations we have to face. It's general enough to do that. But what we should all agree upon, there is something different that happens in discipline with one of our leaders. James 3:1 makes it very clear that we are judged more severely. Now, let me give you another illustration that might help with this. Here is a church. This is a true story. One of the elders embezzles money. It's a lot of money, but he only does it once. And there is accusations made, and the other elders sort of defend this man, until finally they cannot defend him any longer. It's obvious. He has embezzled a lot of money, but he only did it once. And he is very repentant, very sorrowful. So the elders make a decision. It's going to cause a lot of problems if we make this public. And so they decide simply to have him pay the money back and to deal with it on a private basis. And they would probably say something like, well, it wasn't a continuous year after year problem, and he is very repentant and sorrowful, and he is going to pay the money back. Now, how could these elders be this stupid? Do they actually think this is going to be hidden? Do they not know that this will come out eventually and that people will talk about this? People will become very angry. It's their money and it's been embezzled and no one has said anything about it. Do you actually think that you can hide this? Of course not. There's already been people who have observed this and brought this to the elders' attention. It's only a matter of time before this is all public and you've done nothing about it but hide the sin. Now, what should they have done? They should have followed this passage here and have publicly brought this matter to the church, gotten out in front of the sin, gotten out in front of the scandal, the accusations, and explain to the church what has happened, explain to the church that this man has been removed as an elder. He is very repentant. He seeks to pay this all back. We are working with this man. If you have any questions, you are to come to us. We have the facts. And then at that point, you address the congregation against rumor monging, against false reports, against information that is not true. This will help this man, by the way. This will help the congregation. If you don't do this, people will stop giving. People will leave the church. They'll say they're hiding sin. They'll have no trust in you, no confidence. You have hurt the whole eldership. This was a very foolish thing these men did. When an elder sins like this, even if he has repented, he is going to be removed as an elder, which is a public act. It's got to be explained to the congregation. You can't lie to the congregation. And thus, there needs to be a censure, there needs to be a reproof, there needs to be exposure of this, and it needs to be handled wisely and sensitively by the leaders. And this is the best thing for the church, and it's the best thing for this sinning member. Matthew 18 is behind much of this, and we should assume, we know Paul would know Matthew 18, but we should assume that the believers would also know the teaching of our Lord concerning dealing with the sin of a member. But in this case, we have something added to Matthew 18. We're dealing with the very specific case of a church leader, not just any member in the church. And so there is something different, and that's why the emphasis on public rebuke and exposure.